Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have made it to the final show of the work week. Yes, I do feel like singing, but I will spare you. It's also the last word before the next round of the NFL playoffs, which is pretty exciting. I love these Friday. Well, it's our Friday. I get it. It's Thursday, technically. For half of our country. But we think on a Sunday through Thursday calendar that turns into Monday through Friday of our own work week. Does that make any sense whatsoever? It should. It's our Friday. So if you happen to have Wednesday, Thursday off, Tuesday would be your Friday. Get it? So Friday symbolizes the end of the work week, whatever schedule you're on. That was far too complicated, but I hope you get it. Great way to start. Friday, 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 Friday. My Friday, your Friday, everybody's Friday, nobody's Friday. I don't care. I just like to say Friday. And it's also our last opportunity before we get to the divisional round. So we're going to talk about some football on this show. Are you surprised? Another judge in New York City, or in New York sports. Is there room for two? Aaron and now Joe? He is very passionate. He's charismatic. I can understand why the owner of the Giants says it might have been the best football interview he's ever done. So you'll hear from both John Mara as well as Joe Judge. We're just waiting on you, Cleveland, though we do have a couple of reports coming from the shores of Lake Erie about the potential for the Browns head coaching vacancy and what might be going on behind the scenes, even as they work their way through, what is it, 8 different coaching interviews? We've got a ton of quarterback audio. That's a technical term. We've got lots of quarterbacks yapping away, getting set for what will be 3 fantastic days of football. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Now, we already have our poll up on Twitter, either A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. And we're asking you which of the NFL games you're most looking forward to this weekend. And it fits so neatly and tidily because there are 4 games. If Twitter would simply expand the poll option so that we could add a 5th game, we would have put the national championship in there. But we'll just assume coming up on Monday that you are all in on that game. Though I got to tell you, it feels like it's been quiet as church. Actually, my church is not that quiet, but quiet as some churches, maybe quiet as an empty church, when I think about college football. And I'm not a real good judge of this because I work in the business. So when I judge buzz, I do it from an industry standpoint, not from a fan standpoint. But I did get this text from a friend of mine. I wanted to read it. NCAA really screwed up. Nobody seems to care about national championship. Too long of a wait. I almost put that on Twitter and asked people what they thought. But the thing is, it's almost here. There will be some buzz, but I think it's going to get lost at least in the next couple of days on the NFL postseason. And it should. The NFL dwarfs pretty much anything else going on. And so maybe it would have been better for college football to leave the national championship on the Monday after wild card weekend. Maybe there would have been a little extra momentum. I think once we get to game night, once we get to the actual game itself, there will be a lot of excitement. But it feels like it's still so far off because we have 4 pretty mammoth games in the NFL postseason. But we will talk about
the college football national championship a little bit on this show, and then more once we get to Sunday night when we kick off our next work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We have got our very first Hall of Flame induction of 2020. We haven't done one of these possibly since football season started. I was trying to think about the last one we did. And if we have done one over the course of the last 5 months, it was at the very beginning of football season. I don't think we have, though, because some of the audio that we went back and listened to that we've been saving for Hall of Flame, our candidates come from preseason NFL, some of them. And so I do actually think this is the first Hall of Flame induction we've done since the NFL season kicked off. For those of you who are new listeners, and I know we always have new listeners, you want to make sure you are with us on Twitter and Facebook so you can vote on the next magical inductee to the After Hours Hall of Flame. Not the Hall of Fame. No, no, no. We're not that classy. The Hall of Flame. If you don't know the origins of the Hall of Flame, this will be year number 6. And I kid you not when I say we stumbled upon it because I screwed up. I meant to say the Hall of Fame. I said the Hall of Flame. Don't ask me why. I don't even remember what I was talking about at the time. But because I did that, this amazing creation, the Hall of Flame, was born. And it is my favorite thing that we do on the show. And we don't do it every week. We used to do one every month. And maybe in the off season, once we get to football off season, we will. But it is my absolute favorite feature that we do on After Hours, even trumping Ask Amy Anything. So again, you want to find us on Twitter, either After Hours CBS or my Twitter, and then our Facebook page as well, so you are primed and ready. And we will give you the first chance to hear the Hall of Flame inductees coming up next hour. And then you want to vote, 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 vote. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The games that we've got coming up this weekend, they have got some big shoes to fill, no? I think there's certainly the potential. I'm not going to dismiss them out of hand simply because last week we had all four games separated by 8 points or fewer. Not one of our wild card games was decided by more than a single score. So that's a lot for a divisional round to live up to. But just the idea that we now have San Francisco and Baltimore, the top two seeds in the AFC and the NFC, or flip that, the NFC and the AFC, and then Kansas City and Green Bay, and the history that you've got between Seattle and Green Bay. Do you know that the last time the Seahawks won at Lambeau Field, Russell Wilson was shorter. He was a kid. He was not even a teenager the last time that the Seahawks won at Lambeau Field. It's been a fairly regular streak of futility. Now, there was the game in Seattle where the Seahawks came back and beat the Packers in the playoffs in overtime. Was that 2014 season? I think that was the 2014 season. So it would have been early 15 when the game was going on. But it's been a long time since the Seahawks have walked off the field at Lambeau victorious. And we haven't seen Lambeau Field host playoff football in 3 years. So I'm looking forward to that return. There is the chance for big time snow. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I will be so jealous if they're getting a bunch of snow in Wisconsin. All my family's there. Well, my dad's side of the family. And they've got playoff football at the frozen tundra. I will be so jealous. So that's coming up on Sunday evening. It's the last of the four games. Which one are you most looking forward to? I mean, there's so many great storylines. The return of the San Francisco 49ers. Not only has it been a while since they've had a playoff game, going back to the Jim Harbaugh era, but this team has got some great superstars on it and a fan base that's rejuvenated. Jimmy Garoppolo getting a taste of the playoffs. Boy, has he waited a long time to go through this first full season in which he's been the starter. But what about the Vikings and what they did last year? Can they continue it forward here with their momentum and the way that they played in overtime? Certainly shocking the Saints and shocking the football world with their victory at the Superdome. Not a whole lot different about going on the road to Levi Stadium. In fact, I would say the Superdome is probably a tougher place to play than Levi Stadium. We get to see Lamar Jackson in his second playoff game. But the run game of the Ravens against a Derrick Henry who has more than 1,000 yards on the ground in his last seven games. Seven games, more than 1,000 yards. In fact, closer to 1,100 yards rushing. And then think about the Chiefs and the Texans and the two quarterbacks. No, it's not a battle of Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. But heavens, don't we want a front row seat to see these two guys light it up when they have the opportunity? I am really excited about seeing those two quarterbacks on the field at the same time. And we did get a game between these two earlier in the season. But the way Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are playing now, and what we just saw from Deshaun Watson, this is a game, the game they played during the regular season was back in October, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was mid-October. And so it's been a while. And then you had the dislocated kneecap and the time away for Patrick Mahomes. Now they've won six games in a row. They're locked in. And so I'm excited to see those two guys in the same place at the same time. Talk about a show. Kind of a fun question. Maybe a little twist on our poll question. If you could have a ticket for any one of these games, which one would it be? If you could have a ticket, 50-yard line, 10 rows up, which game would you want to go to? So that's kind of another way to ask, what's the matchup that you're all jazzed up about this weekend? Gosh, that's a tough question. If you consider location, if you consider the two teams you might see, maybe how competitive you expect the game to be. I just told you I will be jealous beyond belief, green with envy, if there's snow at Lambeau. So that might be the one where I would want to be there in person. But also, I've been to Arrowhead Stadium for a playoff game. I've been on the field while the football was taking place, or on the sidelines, but down at field level. And that place is loud. And so either one of those places would be great. But also Baltimore, too. I've heard awesome things about M&T Bank Stadium and the purple storm that takes over. So if you could have a ticket for any one of these games, which one would you want to go to? And you can find our poll on Twitter or on Facebook. Again, 855-212-4227. Coming up, Joe Judge, introduced by the New York Giants. And just listening to him, you can understand why he would be very convincing in an interview.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hand off Barkley. He has a crease off the right side. Barkley to the 40. Barkley across midfield. There goes Barkley. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 68 yards for Saquon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This time last night, we put a poll up asking you which of the new NFL head coaches, and right now we only know of four, will be the most successful in the 2020 season. And by far, you all voted for Mike McCarthy. So he was number one with more than half the vote. And then Ron Rivera got a lot of the vote as well. And that makes sense since those two are not only the most well-known, but they're also the guys with the best track record. McCarthy having won a Super Bowl, Ron Rivera having been to a Super Bowl. So McCarthy got 54% of the vote, and this poll just ended, actually, moments ago. Ron Rivera with 25% of the vote, Matt Rhule, 14%, and then little old Joe Judge getting 7% of the vote. Is that because you don't know who he is? Is that because you don't have faith in the Giants roster? Or is it because you think this was the wrong hire for New York? Only time will tell, but I was really impressed with his introductory press conference. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can vote in our latest poll. If you could have a ticket to any one of these four divisional playoff games, which one would it be? Also on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. So before you hear from Joe Judge, the 38-year-old Philly native who spent 8 years with the Patriots and before that was with Alabama, why don't we hear from John Mara, the owner of the Giants, who along with Steve Tisch, so the Tisch family, the Mara family, own the Giants, and they're very involved, not like Jerry Jones involved, but they make these decisions, not Dave Gettleman. This is not the general manager of the Giants hiring Joe Judge. But let's hear from Mr. Mara. Why Judge?
What came through in the interview was his poise, his confidence, his leadership, his knowledge of the game and what it takes to build a winning program, his ability to relate to players, and, of course, his work ethic.
So that's what impressed the owner of the Giants. And I tell you what, when you hear Judge speak about football, he is oozing enthusiasm. That is for darn sure.
What I'm about is an old-school physical mentality. We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of because this team will represent this area. We will play fast. We'll play downhill. We'll play aggressive. We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play like it has a history and a life of its own with a relentless competitive attitude.
Every play like it has a history and a life of its own? I don't know what that means, but that definitely would get people excited if they heard it in a pregame meeting or in a practice. I like the passion that he brings to the table. We're going to approach every play like it has a history and a life of its own. I don't know what that means. But I like the rhetoric. It's very flowery. Fantastic. Also, he's got a message for Giants fans near and far.
I want the people that pay their hard-earned money in the neighborhoods of New York, North Jersey, South Jersey to come to our games and note the players on the field play with the same attitude they wake up with every morning. That is blue collar. It's hard work. It's in your face. We're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to come to work every day and grind it out the way they do in their jobs every day.
It's appealing, right? That blue collar hard work, punch you in the nose, get in your face, get out of my grill message is definitely appealing. You could understand why Mara was blown away by hearing from Joe Judge the first time they met.
For me, our search ended on Monday afternoon when we finished our session with Joe Judge. I have to tell you that this was perhaps the best coach interview that I've ever been a part of. When Steve met with him on Tuesday morning, he felt just as strongly as we did.
That is some high praise, some very high praise. And yet, as I hear Judge speak, really for the first time that I've ever heard him speak, other than a bunch of YouTube interviews that I happened to look up over the past couple of days after his hiring was announced, not only is it the passion and enthusiasm, but he seems to be a man with a plan. He seems to be ready. This is not a guy who is going into it blindly. Now, he still has to figure it out. There's still going to be a learning curve because he's never been a head coach before. But you can tell he's been preparing for this moment.
look, I'm myself. I'm going to be myself every time. If I'm anything else, everyone's going to see straight through it. And if you lie to the team, you're going to lose the team immediately. So I'm going to always be myself. And that's a little bit different than other people, and that's fine. I'm not trying to emulate anyone I've ever worked for. I'm trying to take what I've learned from them and what matches up with my belief structure and do it in my own personality.
And who has he worked for? Well, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. He's got 5 titles as assistants on those teams. He played for Jackie Sherrill at Mississippi State, and the report came out on Thursday that if he hadn't been hired by the Giants, he was going back to his alma mater to become the head coach there. Instead, that job goes to Mike Leach. Could you have even envisioned 2 more different personalities than Joe Judge and Mike Leach? Mike Leach, by the way, spoiler alert, is one of our candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame on this show. It's just a press conference. It's not wins and losses. A press conference doesn't earn you any W's. But for the players who are watching, I think you would have to be impressed, or at the very least, have been served notice that he is going to command the room.
He's got to be CEO smart.
He definitely is CEO smart. He's been preparing for this for years. He's been groomed for this, but he is his own man. Don't let special teams coordinator or wide receivers coach fool you. This guy sounds like he is an alpha male who will be a leader and who has been waiting for this opportunity. He was going to be a head coach one way or another, and the Giants scooped him up first. You got to wonder if David Tepper had interviewed Joe Judge, if this would have gone a different way. If he's that impressive in an interview, maybe the Browns should have scooped him up. Wait, did the Browns interview him? I have no idea. I can't remember their extensive 8 candidate list. There was also talk that if Judge didn't get hired by the Giants or go to Mississippi State, that he might have ended up with Josh McDaniels in Cleveland if the Browns hired the Patriots offensive coordinator. So a lot of different speculation out there, but now he is a member of the New York Giants. The Giants are not in the playoffs. It's been a few years. However, we've got from the NFC, the Packers hosting the Seahawks. It's a fantastic stage with a little bit of history there. Steve Rabel, former Seahawks wide receiver and current radio voice, will join us following the update. In the meantime, what's the game that you'd want to attend in person? These 4 games, what are you most looking forward to? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Or now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks, what a play by the rookie DK Metcalf.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The very distinct voice of Steve Rabel, who is now into the playoffs yet again with the Seattle Seahawks. They've had quite a track record with both Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, and it's never a dull moment, right? It's always a wild ride with those two, that tandem becoming one of the old married couples in sports now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As we look ahead to Packers hosting the Seahawks on Sunday, we're pleased to welcome Steve to the show. And Steve, one of the things about the Seahawks is that they like to give their team, or their fans, excuse me, heart palpitations. They play all of these close games separated by a single score. What is it about these Hawks that continually lands them in these situations?
Amy, I don't know if there's anything that you can pinpoint and say, here's why they do what they do. But they just seem to figure it out every game, and it might be different every game. It could be that the defense, like last week in Philadelphia, is playing lights out, at least when it comes to rushing the quarterback. We gave up a fair amount of yards to the Eagles running the football, but held them to 3 field goals. So, you know, you can look at that and say, okay, there's something to build on. We did the same thing during the season, had a run of pretty good games in there against San Francisco and Minnesota, I'm talking defensively, and then came back toward the end of the season and kind of couldn't stop anybody. So you're just sort of not sure sometimes from week to week. Now, listen, I always say this too. Remember, the other guys on the other side of the line are getting paid to do their job. So there's some pretty good football teams that we played here along the way. But I think what really sets this team apart is their belief in Pete's, and that's Pete Carroll, of course, in his primary idea about playing football. And that is A, competition. We all know that. But B, it's really never over till it's over. And he constantly harps on it. You can't win it in the first or the second or even the third quarter, but you can win it in the fourth quarter. And so Russell has certainly taken that to heart. He's got more fourth quarter or overtime comeback wins since he's been a starting quarterback than anybody in the league. So he knows how to do it. I just think this team has bought in, a lot of young guys, and they're believing what coach and the veteran players are telling them.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because I look at this team and last year too, and I think this might be among Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs ever, considering all the transition, all the turnover. It's not been a rebuild, so to speak, but more of a reload. And so it's Russell Wilson, it's Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, a couple of veterans, but how have you seen Pete's leadership really kind of hold this team together when a lot of other franchises might have fallen apart in this process?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because Pete has a way of letting players bring out the best in each other. He is a very big believer in, if you let people be themselves and let their personalities come out to some extent, then you'll get the best out of them on the football field or in the office or in the classroom or with their family or church or wherever they are. You'll get the best out of that person if you nurture that and let that person grow. You know, I grew up and played in football in a time when it was all about, and I'm still about this, about the team, but everything is subservient to the team. You swallow your own pride. You don't think about yourself. You think about team. You do what it takes for the team. If they say, you're the best athlete on the team, but we want you playing third string cornerback, then you're supposed to deal with that and be a good team player. Pete wants people to be themselves, and in some cases, that draws the best. Russell, Bobby, KJ, without question. And then some guys, you know, they get a little full of themselves, or they believe that they are now in a position that they can criticize, or they can believe what they want to believe, and that's fine. And most of those guys aren't here anymore, and so it becomes this team that believes from very early stages. And a guy like Pete Carroll, who has coached young guys all of his career for the most part. Remember, he has had his most success since he went to USC,
right,
and was turning over the roster every 2 and 3 years. So this is a team that again, they believe in what he's saying, and you got the right leaders that are helping to teach those young guys.
And I think one of my favorite things about Coach Carroll is that even when things are tight and when they're maybe not going the way that he would like, he still looks like he's having a blast on the sidelines.
He does. He runs up. He is the youngest 68-year-old I think I've ever met. And he may actually be a little older than that. I'll be 66 here soon. And so to see him doing what he does, he's out there before the game. He throws the ball 35, 40, 45 yards downfield to one of the managers, you know, one of the ball guys who he throws with every week before the game. I'm lucky if I can get up and down the steps to the press box.
Oh.
So this guy is amazing, and he thinks young, and he believes young, and he exudes that enthusiasm that you would wish all coaches had. Now, you know, I'm certainly not in the coaches' offices after a tough loss, after we lost to the Cardinals this year at home, when it could have set us up for that final matchup with San Francisco, where we could have won it for all the marbles and been at home through the entire playoffs, and we just did not play well enough to win. And I'm sure that he was upset about that, but he keeps those things, much like any kind of criticism or corrections that he has for the players, he keeps those very much to himself, keeps it in-house. And I think the players really appreciate that. But You know, he is something special, and all we can all hope here is he decides to coach well into his 70s.
Steve Rabel is a former Seahawks wide receiver, now the radio play-by-play voice with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I'd love to ask you about a rookie who had his breakout game, really, for the Seahawks against the Eagles, DK Metcalf. And it was kind of funny to hear some of his teammates describe him like Marshawn Lynch. But what has impressed you most about what you've seen from him his first season in the league?
Well, I think you, like everybody else out there, have seen the pictures. So when you saw what he did at the combine, when you saw him in college, and you saw him, just without his shirt on. I mean, he's a pretty impressive guy, let me tell you. And it's about 6'4 and 220 pounds, and literally, I think, 2% body fat, maybe less than that. And he runs a 4.45, 40. I mean, he's just incredible physically. But what's really impressed me is his ability to want to learn, his ability to want coaching from anybody, from his head coach, from his position coach, the offensive coordinator, and maybe as much as anybody, Russell. Russell works extra hard with him. They stay out after practice. He coaches DK, Russell does, on high pointing the ball, and here's where we're going to be. If I'm scrambling around, here's what I need for you to do, and they practice those things. I think it's as much the mental aspect of the game as anything. He seems to me more like a four-year veteran than he does a rookie. And if he can stay healthy, and he's been pretty much healthy all year, he's played all season long with some bumps and bruises, but he's continued to play on. This kid is really going to be something. And, oh, by the way, he's really humble and a really good guy.
Mm. So I was looking at your Twitter, and your TV station, KIRO7, put this post up, and you retweeted it. The last time the Seahawks won in Green Bay, Mike Holmgren was in his first year as the head coach. Matt Hasselbeck was Brett Favre's backup. And then this is my favorite. Russell Wilson was 10 years old. So in other words, it's been a while. But in more recent memories, what do you remember from the last couple playoff trips to Lambeau Field?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that today. Now, part of it is, granted, part of it is I'm almost 66, as I mentioned. But part of it is, and I heard Russell say this week, somebody asked him about those previous games that he's played in Green Bay. And he said, you know, I really don't think about that much. And then somebody asked him, well, what about the 2015 2014 NFC Championship game against the Packers here at home? And he said, well, we had a big play at the end of the game, and I don't remember much else. He puts all that stuff out of his mind so he can focus on what's coming up.
Wow.
I don't truly remember a whole lot about those other games. I remember one, it was pretty cold. I remember one of the playoff games was where Matthew said at the top of overtime for the coin toss, see, this is what you remember, the crazy stuff. we want the ball, and we're going to score.
Yes!
He said that for the benefit, literally, of Favre and those guys, or whomever was playing quarterback at the time, just to make them laugh. And as it turned out, the Packers had the last laugh. But, you know, they're a great team, 13-3 or not, depending on what you think of their record, whether it was a soft schedule or not. They are who they are, and they have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and who's started 14 playoff games or 16 playoff games. That should be enough to let anybody know that the Packers are always in a game.
Steve Rabel is a play-by-play announcer for the Seahawks Radio Network. You hear his voice on their call. One of our favorites. We always love to play your calls. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So if you don't mind, I always enjoy asking players from previous eras. In fact, I was just talking to a guy who played for Tom Landry about 24 hours ago. I like to ask, what is the biggest difference between the game that you see now on the field and the time that you played, Steve?
Well, I think the game is much more complex now. You know, you have so many multiple style offenses and defenses. I mean, we had the zone defenses and the man defenses, and we all have different names for these things. You know, your basic 4-3 or your 3-4. I played in a wishbone offense at Georgia Tech as a tight end, and a lot of the option offense that you see today is just a variation of that, and the wishbone was a variation of other types of option games. So, you know, while things, I guess, change, maybe they stay a lot the same, there are a number of other differences, though, just the athletic ability of guys. Now, on my team back in the day, Kenny Easley, Steve Largent, those guys could have played in any era.
Right.
Kenny Easley was one of the greatest athletes I think I've ever seen. And then you go right through the years. You go back in the years. Gale Sayers could have played any time. Bart Starr could have played now, although not very fleet of foot with the defensive players as good as they are now. He might have taken a few more shots than he did back in the day. So I think that's part of it. The game is a little more, a lot more actually in depth. Coaching, there's so many more coaches. I had six coaches on the Seahawks, not counting the head coach. We had three on offense, three on defense, and the running backs coach was also the special teams coach.
Wow.
Now there are 30 guys, and they're just coaches and trainers and mind people. You know, we didn't have mind people when we played, and I can't even imagine how much more barbaric it was back in the 50s and 60s. At least I played in the early to mid 70s, so we did have the benefit of some technology and all that, but it really has changed that way. And I think, too, now that I think about it, it was much more a game then where you do it because I told you to do it. You know, I'm the head coach. I'm telling you, you run through that wall or you do this or that. And now I don't think you can just say that. I think you have to kind of explain it to kids and tell them why it's important. In those days, it wasn't like that. So I think it's probably better now. I don't know that I could play in this era, probably couldn't. But back then, I could and did for 6 years and was thrilled to have the opportunity. But now, I just love watching these guys, their athletic ability, their preparation, the way Pete gets them ready. And to be with the same organization now for 44 years is just a thrill for me.
Steve Rabel on Twitter at Rabel, KIRO7. But you'll hear him this weekend from Lambeau Field as the Packers take on the Seahawks on the radio network. It's so good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, anytime, anytime. Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.